Hello, hello. You know, there's something about just reading the Psalms that just brings a calm. And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that what David was going through was so excruciating in his life at times that it brings comfort to us to know that he's with us no matter what in our lives. And it helps us refocus. And so I want to encourage tonight as we continue to go throughout the night that we stay centered, we stay focused, because I do believe that God has something for us tonight. And I say that because I know he does. And I know he does every week. And if we come with an expectancy that we're going to be changed, we will be changed. And because God's word does not return void. And I believe God's called us to a new level and another level in him. And that means that we're going to have to do some things differently. We're going to have to believe differently. And we might have to do some uncomfortable things in our lives. But God hasn't called us to comfort. He said that he will comfort us, but he has not called us to a life of comfort. And so I want to challenge us and encourage us tonight as we continue in our study on the book of James, that you open your heart to receive, because I believe tonight could be your night. Amen? Thanks, guys. You can close it out. And so in James chapter 4, we pick it up, and how many of you, those have been coming, getting some stuff out of it? And so regardless if we raise our hand or not, I know that God's word is doing its work. Because the Bible says that it's never going to return void. It has a boomerang effect. So every time it goes out, it's going to hit you. Even in the back of the head sometimes. Have you ever been hit in the back of the head by God when you weren't even looking and God said, remember this? And so when you look at the word and you begin to understand its power, you can begin to lean in and grasp what it's saying because you know that it changes. And if you've experienced the word of God and how it changes, you understand its power. So when you get into it, you want more of it. And so the Bible says that the word of God is alive, it's sharp, it's powerful. And it's going to get in and it's going to cut and it's going to divide. And it's going to bring to light those things in our life that we need to see. And if we're not careful, we can miss out on the truth of God's word because of things that are happening or going on in our life. And we can really miss truth there. And so I want to challenge you tonight just to open up and so you can see what's actually in here tonight, because I believe it's good. Good. And so in James chapter 4, Matt, you can put it up here. It says this, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire but do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. And so the first thing we have to understand, you can leave that up there, is this, is that those things that are happening in our life or those things that are not God's purpose for your life, it didn't just originate out of nothing. God was sitting on his throne, and we know he was sitting on his throne, and he was in absolute total control. But the enemy decided to rise up and challenge God, and as a result, we're dealing with the effects of that challenge today. Because we know that there's an enemy, the Bible says that he's the prince and the power of this air, who is ruling over this world. And you're not able to see it right now because we don't see into the spirit realm, but we know and understand that the spirit realm is real and that there is a battle that's going on right now for your soul and for mankind. Jesus has purchased us back because of his death on the cross. And so we don't have to walk in fear anymore because we know that we're his. But at the same time, we've entered into this warfare and our eyes have been opened up into the spirit. And you begin to see things that you did not see before. And so what causes quarrels and fights among you? He said, is it not the desires that come up from inside of you? If you remember, it was that very desire that came up inside of Lucifer that got him kicked out of heaven. And so you have to be careful when it comes to the very motives of your life and what you're asking God for. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. And so how many of you have asked God for something and you did not get it because God didn't want you to get it because the motives of your heart were wrong or impure? And it's not the fact that God does not want to give you things and want to bless you things, but it does mean that God is a good father and knows what's best for his kids. And if you were to look back over your life and the things that you did get in your life that you wanted so bad, if you look back, you knew that if I would have just listened, I probably could have avoided some of the pain that I've had to endure in my life today. The fact that God's not good, because he is good. He's even sovereign over those decisions in our life, but there's still a cost that we have to pay because of those things. And I think of the Old Testament, where Israel wanted a king so bad because they wanted to be like everybody else. And God told Samuel, listen, tell them this is what the king is going to do. And they said, nevertheless, we want him. And we all know the story of what happened to Saul. He started off great, but in the end, because of his character deficiencies, he failed. And so even in our own life, the things that you're asking God, do you have the right motive? And sometimes you don't know you have the right motive until God intervenes in your life and says no. And do you know what that looks like when God says no to you? Do you know what that type of resistance looks like for you? Because you understand, as a Christian, God's ways are not your ways. And so you might be asking God to bless something in your life, and God says, I don't want to bless that in your life because it's not what I have for you ultimately. What it's going to do, it's going to cause you pain and heartache, and I don't want you to have to walk through that in your life because I have something better for you. But God, don't you understand and don't you know, I fully understand and I fully know. Which one of you as a father would put your son or daughter in a situation, them something that they weren't ready for in their life? And I understand there's a trial and error process that goes along with that, but God's so good and he understands what that looks like and what that looks like for you. And you can be honest in here, because most of us have said at one time or another, God, I don't understand why. And God's response is, my ways are not your ways. How do you know if the very thing that I give you won't kill you in your life? We have a hard enough time as a Christian keeping our desires under control and keeping our will aligned with God, let alone the fact for us to try to get around God or outside of God to try to get our needs met. And how many of you would be honest, you don't have to raise your hand, but you have tried to force God's hand in your life to get something that you wanted because you wanted it so bad. All it did was cause heartache and confusion in your life. And you know, wanting things is not necessarily a bad thing. The Bible says, delight yourself with the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. God wants to give you the desires of your heart. But God's process is different than our process. Because he gets in and weeds out all that selfish motive that's in there. He weeds it out. Because he knows the intent of the heart. And so you have to understand it this way. If Jesus had to learn this, you have to learn it. Well, what does that mean? It's real simple. When Jesus walked this earth, many of us think, well, he was so deity and he knew what God wanted that nothing really affected him or he didn't really have temptation. And that's a lie. Because when Jesus walked the earth, if you remember in Philippians 2, he left that throne and he left what he had and lowered himself to come here. So that means he could live and learn like you. So today, he's qualified to assist you because he has gone through what you are going through here and now. And you have to remember that because Jesus modeled it for us when he was here on the earth. The Bible says that he was led by the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted by the devil because he was about his ministry. And if you remember, when he went into the wilderness, the enemy came at him and began to tempt him. And Jesus' responses were great because it showed us how we're supposed to respond in our life. If you remember, his first response was, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Right? And the enemy comes in again and he says, listen, do not put the Lord God to the test. And then he comes in a third time, and his response was, worship the Lord thy God only. And the Bible says the enemy left him. And it's an example to us as Christians how we're supposed to respond in life. Because I believe that was a weeding out process for Jesus. Because we think that he just got it. When he got here on earth, he just had it. But the Bible says that he grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. That's that Jesus had to learn it. And so you have to learn it. You have to learn it. The next set of verses, Matt, go ahead and put them up for us, if you will. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. This is strong talk from James. Because James understood and understands the principle that if you want to go up, you have to go down. If you want to be exalted and lifted up, then you have to go down. You have to go through the process. If you remember, ultimately, Jesus' ultimate goal was to bring glory to the Father by dying on the cross. Yes, and as he did that, it set us free. It set mankind free, correct? But in the process, he had to go through persecution, pain, suffering, to the point of where he was lifted us so the whole world could see. Because remember, the Bible says that if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. And so Jesus, on his way through here, on his way back to heaven, had to go through a process so that he could encourage us today as believers to continue in this process and be the people that God has called us to be. But it wasn't without going through that school. Many of us are looking for promotion in our life and looking for a position in our life, and we want to be exalted. And God's question to you is, are you willing to go through what you have to go through to get there? Because the way I do it is not the way the world does it. Because ultimately, in your life, your ultimate goal, or my ultimate goal for you, is that you bring glory to my name. And so as you bring glory to my name, you're going to have to go through that process of what my son went through. Because remember, in the middle of this, you're becoming more and more like my son. And I think sometimes we forget that because we think that God is interested in giving us blessing and bringing us into a position in our life so that we can just have and we can get. But if you remember in the first part of James, he says, listen, you kill for those things. Those desires that are inside of you, that are raging against your soul, those things, if not checked, take you out. And so God takes us through the school. And we've talked about the school. Faith you, remember? And so if Jesus had to go back to school, that means you have to go back to school. Because now you have to learn it God's way. God's way is the best way, but it's not the most or the easiest way. Because in the middle of it, God is building me And God is producing in me something that is necessary. God is bringing about the very life of Jesus Christ in me as I'm in this process. We'll get taped next week for this. It's like doing a wheelie around my ear. Just don't look at this. Look at... Okay. But for us. And so I believe that's why there were times in the New Testament, and you remember the times where many disciples walked away from him because of what he said was too difficult for them to do. And there may be times in your life where God asks you to do something that is difficult to do. And it's going to be that very decision that you make in that moment that could define your very destiny and alter the course that he has for you. But are you willing to do it? Some, it could be, I want you to lay down that job. It's easier when you get fired from one because I got to try something else. Or that relationship, I want you to cut off. Or I want you to rearrange your priority. Or I want you to do something different in your life. Those hard things. But if you want the blessing of God in your life, then you're going to have to experience and do the hard things in your life. Christianity is for the weak. And I know sometimes a gospel is preached where it's, come all ye who are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And that is true. God wants to give you rest. But there are some decisions that have to be made. And there are some things that God requires of us in order to be a real disciple. Are you willing? Because in those times of decision in your life, that's where character is built. And see, if you're wanting to become more and more like Christ, then that means that your very nature we know is already changed, because the Bible says that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. But those desires that we have in our life have to change. Because if the very presence of Jesus is living inside of you, that means the desires that he has become yours. And so those are the times in your life where you wrestle with God about those things and how you're supposed to do things and how you're supposed to proceed. Those are the times where character is built and God is doing a work in your life. And listen, it's a wrestling match. Paul even talked about it. He said, listen, I beat my body constantly. And if you even look at Romans 7, he talks about how he's in, he's out, he's up, he's down. It's like he's all over the place. And if we're honest in here, some of us, we're like that, and we get like that as Christians. That's normal Christianity. Sometimes we're in and we want what God has. Other times we're like, I can't do it, it's too hard. And God has to wrestle with us so our desires would change and so that he actually can do through us what he wants to do, because it's not easy. It's not easy. And there's a thing we talk about in the workout world. It's called getting gains. And Sean could attest to this, getting gains. You know what that means? That means that I'm going to put in the work in order to get the results that I want. That means when I get to the point where it's hard, I push myself a little more because that's where the gain comes in. When I don't think I can do it anymore, I push a little bit harder because that's where the gain comes in. When I can't lift anymore, I do one more because that's where the gain comes in. I can't fight anymore, God, but so the gain comes in. And if you're really walking with God in here, you understand what that tension looks like. You understand the tension. Where you know God wants to do something in your life, and immediately you just feel it on the inside. There's that tension of God's will as opposed to my flesh. And what does that look like for me to get out of this so I can actually walk into God's will? And so you get to wrestling. And you get to fighting. And sooner or later you understand that it's futile, right? It's futile. Apart from God putting a knife to your throat and saying surrender, you know He has the power and the ability to hold you in place until you do those things. You see, God is a master teacher, and sometimes, and I used to think that God would let me get away with things because He knows who I am as a human. And He does, and He's such a gracious Father, but here's the thing. He never forgets. And He's always committed to the process. We joke about it at the gym every once in a while because you'll see people and then sometimes they won't come in for a little bit. Oh, yeah, I just got busy. No, you didn't get busy. You might have. But the process is difficult and it's hard. But the one thing about God is that God doesn't forget about the process, and He has a way of putting us right back on the wheel and shaping us. Because until my desires become His desires, the work still has to go on. Because if I'm becoming more and more like Christ, that means I have a long way to go in my life. To the point where He was exalted on the cross and looked at Him and all His nakedness and His shame. But He knew why He came. He knew what He was supposed to do, and He knew where He was going. And I think most of us know that. We know where we're going. We know where we're going. The problem is the way up is through humility. Because you are now serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who gave His life for you and now wants you to live like He lived. And that is counterintuitive to your natural mind. So you've got stuff going on the inside of you. That's life. That's part of being a Christian. Even not a Christian. There's stuff going on inside of us. But throw that Christian thing in there. Now we just took it up a notch. And so as a believer and as a Christian, am I committed to the process? Because I know that God is committed to the process. Because until I become like He wants me to look like, we're going to stay at this thing. How many of you had some coaches growing up? You played sports, you had some coaches growing up, even now, who would not let you quit? Who would not let you get off some of the things that you were doing because they knew that what they were doing and asking you to do was good for you. It's okay. You'd be honest. Three people. Thank you. It's okay. If you were never pushed in your life, I'm sorry. But it's not easy. It's not comfortable. It's not natural. But here's the benefit of it. Once you begin to see change, and once things begin to look differently in your life, you begin to see this actually is worth it. That you have seen the goodness of God at one time or another. And you can say to yourself, you know what, this is actually, I don't want to admit it. But it's worth it. It's worth it. Because I know His grace is sufficient and it's bigger than anything in my life that I'm going through. And so you might be here tonight and saying, well, there are things that I'm praying about and I want God to promote me and I want God to do things. And here's my answer. All in due time. All in due time. Not your time, but due time. Because God knows that there's a certain process that has to take place so that you can be ready for the next step and the next place in your life. You couldn't take Jesus from when He was a baby and fast forward him to 12 years old. He wasn't that kid. Jesus at 12 wasn't ready to die on the cross at 33. He was learning more about who the Father was also. Because remember, he was also human. But at 33, he was ready. At the appointed time that God had set, he was ready. And even to the point, and sometimes, well, he was really God, but I don't know about humanity. The Garden of Gethsemane, if you remember, when he had that wrestling match with God, where the Bible said he'd sweat almost, and they say it was like drops of blood that came from him because the spiritual warfare was so intense in his life that he said, if it be your will, let this thing pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Humanity on display right there. That means, listen, if you let me quit, I'll quit. If this thing can pass from me, so be it. Got up, did what he was called to do. That's why now in Hebrews chapter 4, the Bible says that now we have a high priest who's able to empathize with our weaknesses because he was what? Tempted in every way just as we are. Yet he did not sin. That means what you're going through in your life right now, natural part of life. But now you have someone who could help and empathize with you because he did not sin. And the Bible makes intercession for us so that you can stand up under the pressure and under the weight that you're in right now and still do it. You can do it. Because he did it. But it's not easy and it hurts. Exactly. That's why the Bible says, narrow is the road that leads to eternal life, and few find it. But broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many find it, because there are certain people who just can't hack the road. But you want blessing in your life? Guess what? That's the road. Remember the famous poem, "The Road Less Traveled"? And I took that road, and it was so poetic. And we look back and say, man, that's such an inspiration. But to be a Christian means that you're taking the road less traveled. But in the end, you have a joy and anticipation that the road that you took was worth the joy that was before and after. It's worth it. That's why Paul said good things like this. I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I did it. It wasn't easy, but I did it. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Here's one of the things that we missed out on some of these things. Well, I feel like the devil's attacking me. Well, are you submitted? Because you can't fight him effectively if you're not walking in God's will and what God has for you. It's impossible. If you're not submitted, if you are not submitted to what God is asking you to do, then you keep yourself open for the attacks of the enemy. Now, here's the deal. You're going to get hit anyway because you're a Christian. That's just the way it goes. But there's an extra level of confidence that you can have when you know that I am doing what God has called me to do so that when the enemy comes in, I can stand firm and to know that, you know what? I don't have to listen to it because I know I'm doing what God has called me to do, and he has to go. Submit to God. Remember, Jesus was submitted to his Father's purpose, right? He was being tempted in the wilderness. He knew what he was called to do, and he shot out with, no, don't put me to the test. I know who I am. And eventually, he left him. You can't do that effectively with obedience in your life or compromise. You can't do it. You cannot do it. If God has asked you to go one way and you're going the other way, the enemy is going to pounce on you. But if you stay submitted, you can resist effectively. There is a difference between effective resistance and resistance. But we have a high priest who's able to empathize with our weakness. And if you're titling this message, the title tonight is called Not Yet. Not yet. I'm believing and I'm praying. I know. Not yet. You know, oftentimes, that's what God's answer is. Wait. Now, Lord, do you know any other word? Yes, be still. Okay, same thing. Right? That's right. Wait on me. Wait. Okay. Not yet. Because I'm doing something in you, because I would love for you to last and actually stand in the blessing that I have for you. Stand in it. So you don't crumble in it. You remember, because your desires that are in you, I want them to become my desires. So that you actually can finish this thing. The book of James, Christianity, the New Testament was all about persevering to the end. I believe there's so many people that don't finish well. Don't finish. It's because either they were misinformed about what Christianity was about or it got too hard and they weren't around accountability or community, whatever the reason is, they just don't finish because they didn't realize it was that hard. That's why the Bible talks about encouraging and persevering and making it to the end, because it's worth it. It's worth it. Well, I don't know. A long time. Your life. I mean, well, when can we stop? When you close your eyes and there's no more breath in you? And you're standing before Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he says, "What? Then you can stop. No stop now." And I think sometimes we're trying to stop the process. I just got to be honest with you. The process is going to go on. It's just going to go. That's why submitting to it is key. Because if you can submit to it, it makes the work a little easier. We're going to close in a minute or so, but isn't that what we look back in the Old Testament where God calls Israel stubborn and stiff-necked because they resisted who he was? They worshipped him, then they walked away. They worshipped him, then they walked away, and they always resisted that submission thing. It was a big deal for them. They couldn't, it was like a whole process, and if we're honest, we do the same thing. But eventually, we know that it's easier for me to say, Lord, I died to myself. We still got to walk through it. Because in the end, we want to finish well, and we actually want, and here's the thing, we actually want our prayers to be answered. We have not because we ask not. And then the other side says, well, you don't get because you're asking with wrong motives. Okay, so that means that, Lord, you have to get in and help me with my motives. And you know what? If things are happening in my life the way they're supposed to happen, it's okay. You know best. I can keep moving on. I don't have to worry about why God didn't do it. And if God wants to show me, he can show me. But I can still trust that he's good and move on and know that he's got something best for me. And I think most of us would say we want God's best. We want his best. But that means sometimes it means we got to go through the process. Humble ourselves before the Lord, and in due time, he'll raise us up. That means, Lord, I defer to you. Defer to you. Let's all stand if we could tonight. Father, we thank you for your goodness, Lord, your grace, and what you're doing in our life. How many of you would be honest today and say, you know what? I'm fighting some stuff right now internally in my life. Internally, there's just, I'm waging. I see it. You've been thinking about it this week. Just feeling that warfare. Father, I pray that you would give them strength to submit to it and to do the things you've asked them to do. And Lord, I know that it's not easy. I know it. But Lord, I know that you require it of us. God, because you want to bring us to the fullness and the goodness that you have in our life. But sometimes that means letting go of those things that we're comfortable with and the way we do things. And God, I pray that you would give us the strength to do that tonight. And God, even as we close with this last song, Lord, I pray that you would help us and enter into just a new place in you. God, we know your goodness. Recognize your goodness. And God, leave here, God, with just an anticipation that the best is yet to come in our life, but the process is necessary in order for us to get there. In Jesus' name.